Welcome to the Rural Pastor Podcast with your host, Pastor Andy Addis.
You plant the seeds in the ground, though the fields have long been brown. But Lord, when will your harvest come in? You're giving all you've got to give in the place where you've been sent. But will this labor make much difference in the end? Will no one ever know? Sometimes you feel so all alone. Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope. To that church on the corner of that forgotten little town, with a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him known.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Rural Pastor Podcast. I am not in studio today, but I am actually on location with the wonderful Mrs. Kathy Addis. How are you, dear?
I'm good.
This is your fourth appearance on a Rural Pastor Podcast. I looked it up today to know how many times you'd been on one of these. But we are not even in our home state. We are in sunshiny Florida. They think it's cold. But we do not. It's wonderful here in Florida. We are at the 2025 Leaders Conference called Rest for Your Soul by the Advent Christian General Conference. These are some new friends, and we're trying to get each other's theology straight. But we're actually just here to share in the struggle for pastors to find rest, and for ministry leaders to actually find some patterns in their life of how to recoup and be who we need to be. And one of the things that we want to do is you and I have a discussion for the podcast here in front of this crowd about one of our favorite passages of Scripture that is all about the armor of God. Now, everybody in here has been over this. We probably preach the armor of God. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read that passage, but I want to look at it from a different perspective. Not for spiritual warfare, not for an attack, but it's much easier to rest when you know you're secure. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen in the house?
Yes.
It's much easier to rest when you know you're secure. And one of the ways that we become secure is that we have to armor up.
Yeah.
And my wife has an incredible practice of armoring up. Matter of fact, let me tell you, we've been married for 30 years, and not only does she talk in her sleep, which is terrifying sometimes, because she says full sentences, and I don't know if she's awake or not, and I've learned to bypass that. But a few years ago, she started. Do you want to tell a story?
No.
Okay.
No, I know.
But a few years ago, in the middle of the, I thought it was the middle of the night. It was just actually early morning. I looked over, and in the darkness, I thought I saw this. My wife was sitting up and rocking back and forth, and just over me. That is the most terrifying thing in the middle of the night. Can I get an amen from anybody else? And I said, Kathy, and she goes, yes. I said, are you okay? She goes, I'm fine. What are you doing? She goes, I'm praying. I'm like, can you do that somewhere else? And what I found out that Kathy was doing is she had adopted a practice. And what I love about this is, what were you doing as you were sitting there in the bed before your feet hit the floor, rocking back and forth?
I was praying the armor.
You were literally putting on the armor piece by piece. So explain just a little bit. We're going to get into it, but what does it mean for you to put on that armor piece by piece?
I try to do it before my feet hit the ground, because that's when the day starts. And so I go through piece by piece. I physically touch the shoes. And I make it a practice to be very practical in putting on every single piece.
And you pray through it, and you ask God to help you put that on.
Right.
And I thought, what a wonderful practice this is. Just like you physically get dressed, she spiritually gets dressed in the morning and puts on that armor. And this is the difference. Pastors, teachers, leaders, in ministry, we are students of the Word, and we are teachers of the Word, and makes us transmitters of information. And that is never what God intended His Word to be. God did not intend His Word to be informational. He intended it to be transformational. And that means that we have to put it into practice. It has to be given an engine. And the engine is our soul and our responsiveness and our obedience. And so if we need rest, let's say we're having some struggles, man. Maybe we had a run-in with Osama bin Deacon, and it was really difficult. Or Sister Susie Sassy is just on your case all the time. You can think that your enemy is that person. But this passage, as you put on the armor, it says our war is not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
And when we see that, we need to understand that those who are acting in a way that is difficult or derogatory or devoid of scripture, it's not them. They are captive, or they are even incoherently obeying the enemy in that moment. Our enemy is not them. Can I please get an amen?
That's right.
Our enemy is the one that is behind all of that. And the defense that we're given is not how do we excommunicate them? How do we bring them up on charges at a business meeting? How do we stop them? That's not the answer. The answer is how do we armor up?
Yeah.
On the count of three, I want everybody to say armor up. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Armor up.
I was talking to you out there in rural pastor podcast land too. You got to say that with me. Let's all try it one more time. 1, 2, 3. Armor up. That's right. So let's just roll through this. The passage tells us to put on. That's very intentional. And what you do is not just informational. You literally touch and think and pray through, and you put those things on. So I want to roll through just the elements of the armor, and I want to see if it speaks to us in a way that maybe you and I can transmit so that we can then transform in our own lives. You use the New Living Translation, which is an adequate translation.
Yeah.
That's okay. If you would, we joke all the time. I use the ESV, also known as the Elect Standard Version. I have no idea if that's correct or not.
It's not.
In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 is where we began. But if we actually go down to where we see the elements of the armor, it's verse 14. Would you read verses 14 through verse 20 for us?
Yeah. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
And while this is about rest, we're talking about security, that safety, being armored up allows you to rest a little bit. It does say four times in the sentences above and in this passage, stand. On the count of three, everybody say stand. 1, 2, 3.
Stand.
And so there is an effort. You have to put this on and then you have to stand. But in this, we're given some courage. So let's go through them one by one. First of all, the belt of truth. What we know about the belt of truth, we displayed just yesterday coming through security at the Wichita Airport. My belt set the metal detectors off. I took my belt off, and everything started to fall apart. Can I just say? Apparently, my jeans a little too big. I had to walk around like this until it came through and had to wait because they were checking somebody else's bag. And that belt that I had on, I don't notice it. I don't think about it. I don't hang things on it because I'm not Batman. I don't have stuff hanging off my belt. But the minute it's gone, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, the rest of me is falling apart. And when we say truth, the truth that we have here is not just like God's truth, according to the commentators that understand the language being used here. And don't forget, when we read the New Testament hadn't been assembled yet. So it's not pointing to itself. It's saying truth. And what is truth? We are held together. Everything is held together by God's truth, both subjective and objective truth. The things that we know from His Word, yes, but the things that He reveals to us as He speaks to us. Now, as you put on the belt of truth, what does that mean for you? When you touch your waist and you say, God, help me wear that belt of truth today. What are you thinking of when you put that on?
Part of it is help me to recall what I know to be true about Him and then what He says about me. But it also, I ask Him to help me see what is real. Like not in my imagination, not in my opinions or someone else's opinions. Not get caught up in what trends or culture or the people around me say, but what is actually really happening.
And you go so far, and I love this, as to the things that I'm upset about because I assume, you refuse to assume until you know. You refuse to be afraid. Like, if I find a lump on my arm here, I got cancer, I've got 6 months, that's what's going to happen.
Yes, that's.
And, yes. and she's like, no, if you want to know, go to the doctor. Until then, it's a lump. And just be brave, be bold. You don't know what that is. And so truth for her is holding on to what she knows God has said.
Right.
And how much different would that be rather than going into a meeting, assuming what they think, assuming what's going to take place, being dreadful of things that we don't know, but you buckle up truth. Yeah. And that's what holds you
and
all together.
It's not rumors either.
Right.
Or what other people might say.
Yeah, only face-to-face interactions get you the reality, not face-through-face interactions. Amen, amen. Okay, so the second element, after you put on the belt of truth, is the breastplate of righteousness. And every single one of us have seen the VBS dramas where they have the cardboard breastplate, right? And the guy comes out and he beats his chest on that. It's very true. That breastplate was pieces of metal that were formed to the chest in the front and the back, tied together, and they protect the vital organs. Now, what's interesting about this is that we have several promises in Scripture, and this is going to kind of be a paradigm shift for some of us. Some of the promises in Scripture are not so much spiritual as they are just logical. If you obey your parents, he promises long life. Okay, first of all, that way your parents don't have to kill you. Can I get an amen in the house? Right? Because but also, your parents say what? Look both ways before you cross the street. That's not spiritual advice. That's just don't be dumb. Can I get an amen in the house? And the breastplate of righteousness, what if the breastplate of righteousness was when you act rightly under God's standards, when you act correctly according to his word, the way he tells us to live is safety. It protects the spiritual and physical vital organs of who you are.
Yeah, and it protects the people around you too. I think of the armor as like you put your clothes on in the morning to protect your body and those around you. You know, nobody needs to see that, right? So, sorry, fellas, whoever we're back there. Naked.
The buck naked table.
But you do that so that your integrity and the rightness of Christ in you protects you, but also your testimony, your witness to the people around you. And it's kind of good for everybody.
It's so good. It is literally saying God's word is not only putting me in right relationship with him, it is protective of me. I think of one thing. Do you realize that when the Old Testament laws on washing of your hands before you ate took place was literally thousands of years before they knew there were germs? Yeah. That God made a ceremonial law that protected his children. Do you know what one of the big killers was in the ancient world? Cholera. Do you know what it came from? Pigs. And so God said, how about you don't eat no pigs? And but thanks be to God, he gave us bacon in the book of Acts. And when we figured out where it came from, he said, all right, you may now eat this. That's a little stretch on that. Well, but what I'm saying is that those laws put us in right standing with him also protected us from things that we couldn't be aware of. Yeah. So you put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. The next one is shoes with the gospel of peace. Now, this one is really a paradigm shift for most, because when we hear gospel and we're in ministry, gospel starts with go, so that's what that means. Go tell people about the gospel. That's why it's on your feet. But that is not what Paul meant when he wrote this. Paul meant that you get sure-footed by you being sure of the gospel yourself.
Yeah.
The old statement, the old adage that we've heard so many times, preach the gospel first to yourself. Mm-hmm. Before you go into battle, you're not going out to give the gospel. You need to be in the gospel. You need to be covered by the gospel. You need to wear the shoes of the gospel so that you have the traction of the gospel, so that you have the protection and the propulsion of the gospel. And that's not about them. That's about you, the armor wearer.
Yeah. I remember praying this about a year ago, and I asked God to show me what do each piece mean? What does each piece do for me in my life, and how can I reflect that? And I remember when I asked about the shoes of the gospel of peace, he's like, this is what I did for you on the cross. The blood I shed for you is the gospel. And what I did there in that moment was enough. Mm. You do not have to freak out.
There's nothing to add to.
That's right. That was enough. That was all we needed to be calm, to stand our ground, to do what we need to do, because he did it all in that moment on the cross. Mm. And that was enough.
Isn't that a good word, church? Isn't that a good word? That when you wear the shoes of the gospel, It's not about an assignment for you to go. Right. It's about the comfort of protecting and giving you the traction you need to do what you need
to do. And it's not about us.
Amen. You always got to bring that up.
I know.
Next is the shield of faith. And this isn't so much something that you wear, but it's a huge part of the armor. Often a wooden shield with a metal coating on it that would be used to deflect blows, or as you see in the passage, what does it say? To extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. So it, literally, instead of taking them in you, you take them in the shield of faith. Well, what is the shield of faith? It is something that you can get a hold of and protect yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is something that you actually hide behind. And I've often wondered, and I want to hear what you do here when you pick up that piece of the armor. For me, the shield of faith is the very simple things that God has given us in disciplines. It is memorizing His word that you can hide under. It is prayer that is the meeting with the commander of the army. It is the testimony that we have that we can say under attack, but God has always been good and He is not absent. I love that testimony when they, back in the 60s, when Time magazine didn't say God is dead, and one of our great leaders stood up and said, "No, He's not. I talked to Him this morning." That's a testimony.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
And then one of my favorites of all is worship. Just worship. Now, you don't want to hear me sing. You know, matter of fact, I wear these microphones for a living. I do this and they make me turn it on so they can record before I get on stage. And so there's always at least part of a song on there. And I can't tell you how many sound guys have told me, "Thank God you're a preacher."
Oh, such joyful noise.
But guess what? When I get in the car and I know that there's some rough stuff going on or I need a moment, I can turn up that 80s, 90s worship, because that's when Jesus was really in worship music. Turn on that 80s, 90s worship music, and I will belt it out, and I can just feel the shield of faith around me and in the car. And literally, it is something, whether it's scripture or it's prayer or it's testimony or it's worship, you pick that up and you hold it over yourself to extinguish those darts when they come in.
Yeah, I guess I see it. It's kind of grown as I've made this a practice. The Lord has shown me different things, but when I first started, I would see the shield as something that I just hide behind. Like, not just hold it up, which I know we're supposed to, but I mean, in front of me, behind me, on top of me, around me, like shielding me in all around. He goes before and behind and hems us in. And so it has gone from something that I hide in to where I stand behind. And I realize that it's not my faith. It is not mine, because my faith you could fold up and put in your back pocket. But His faith is all you need.
Amen.
His faith is what you can lean on and trust in and believe in. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'm like, "Lord, You said this. I believe You. You have to show up. You have to do this, because I'm going to mess it up big time if You don't." And that's, to me, that's that practical, everyday thing. Like, God's like, "I got you. I got you."
Amen. And Kathy brings up something really important. How many of you here know that you don't have anything God didn't give you?
Right.
Remember, it's a podcast. You got to be verbal. How many of you here know that you don't have anything God didn't give you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want you to all be able to hear the hands that went up just a second ago. Did you know one of the things that you have that God gave you is your faith?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's hard. We think, well, I give God my faith, or I give God my heart. You wouldn't even know He existed if He did not reveal Himself to you. No one comes into the Father unless the Father draws him. You were drawn in that way. Every bit of that is a gift that He has given you. So you're literally using the faith that He has given you. I think that's beautiful, beautiful. Got a couple more pieces. The helmet of salvation. This one's really interesting, because a helmet, most Roman soldiers didn't roll around wearing a helmet. They only put it on when they were in battle, because it was hot, it was uncomfortable, had that little nose thing that scratched you up. But when they were in battle, there was no way they weren't going to have that. They put it on, and most theologians when I've studied this passage, will say this, that the helmet of salvation should remind you of two things. It preserves your life now, and should you lose your life, it preserves your life then as well. That the helmet of salvation gives you this confidence. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, this is the confidence. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is when Jesus is trying to inspire His disciples as He sends out the 12, or sends out the 72, and he says what? He says, "Why do you worry about men? All they can do is kill you."
Well, all right.
I always imagine Peter off the side going, "Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what we're worried about, Lord." And what He's getting at is, He says, "Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul." But then He goes on to say, But the God who loves you has you in his hand. He would never do that. You wear the helmet of salvation. And even if they could take your life, they can't take what's most important. They can't take your eternal life.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And so God has you in his hand. Helmet of salvation for you.
For me, it's that confidence. It's that boldness. It's that urgency to tell others that what we have. It's that salvation and understanding and knowing that we have the responsibility to tell others, but it's because we are secure forever.
Amen.
And we might offend, and we might hurt somebody's feelings unintentionally, of course. We might say something stupid, but we are saved by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. So go for it.
Amen.
It's
a confidence builder. You put the helmet on, you're ready to go crash through some walls.
Let's go.
That's why I don't let her drive a motorcycle.
Also true.
Because she'd put a helmet on and she'd be so fearless. It would be sad. Okay. We've walked through all but one, and so let's recoup. We have to put them on. That's active. We have to stand. That's active. But what do we do? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and finally, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the
Word of God.
The Word of God. Now remember, we didn't have the canonized scripture when this was written. So this is not a verse that explicitly points to the Bible that you hold in your hands. What does it mean when it says the sword of the word of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? The word there is rhema. It is the spoken Word of God. And yes, let's make sure it does include the Old and New Testament. It does include the Word of God. But it's even broader than that, that when you are His and you are listening to Him and He is speaking to you, He will guide you.
Amen.
And where you get confidence from the helmet of salvation, we all should, I get a lot of confidence from knowing that God still speaks to his children. Let me give you a couple examples. I got finished preaching on Sunday and got desperately sick. I have not been as sick as I was on Sunday afternoon and all day Monday. And I had to get on a plane to come here Tuesday morning. I was so sick. I literally was afraid I was going to have to call Brother Nash and go, you're going to have to find somebody. I don't think I can do this. But in the last hours, I just got better. And then I got on a plane. I realized, God just let me be sick in my free time. How great is that? I mean, it was a miraculous turnaround. And that may seem like a small thing to you, but I remember pleading with God, oh God, let me get through this Sunday. And then I got done. I went, oh God, get me ready for Tuesday. And he was so accommodating. He compressed that sickness right in that place. But not just small things like that. Kathy and I, we told you our background. My mom married multiple times. Your mom married multiple times. We both come from abuse. We both come from addiction. We both come from all that stuff. And when I knew that I was going into ministry and I knew that I was falling in love with her, I knew that the last thing in the world I needed to do was marry her because I and she are both huge flight risks.
Right.
We had a statistical probability of success in marriage of about 0.6%. And so I didn't know what to do. I really thought I should break up with her so that she can be free and do what God wants her to do. But I can't go into ministry with this kind of thing looming over us. And I remember one night in a dream, and I know it's going to sound really freaky to y'all. I've only had two or three in my life, but one night in a dream, God let me have this dream in which she and I were together. But there was a broken unfaithfulness, and I was so devastated. And in that hurt and in that pain, here's what God said to me. Even if that happened, I'll hold you together. And I got up the next day and I bought a ring. And we've been married for 30 plus years.
Right on.
And God's done amazing
things. Amen.
I picked up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. He told me, go ahead and marry her. She's having to step down for you.
Whatever.
I got you set up, buddy. You need to do this. And I thank God for that rhema word. Now, how about you? Sorry, I took too much time there. But what is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God to you?
Well, I always, it's the only offensive weapon we have because it's the only offensive weapon we need. And for me, in a practical application is in those moments when the enemy just picks on us sometimes, you know, or we're facing conflict or whatever. Man, you find that scripture that applies. Actually, any scripture, to be honest, when my brain goes into high gear and I'm thinking about all the things all the time, every thought I've ever had comes all at once. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Good. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. I heard that. Recognize. When that happens, it's when you speak the word of God, when you say it out loud, you hear it, your spirit hears it, but more importantly, the enemy hears that. Yeah. And he's got to run.
He doesn't
have any defense against it. And so and there have been times when Jesus wept, man, that did it. but it's saying, it's speaking God's word in such a way with the authority that by the Holy Spirit we are given. And it is miraculous.
And by the way, it's worth noting that she's talking about quoting the word of God, which is always right. Everybody
right.
Say
always right.
When you have a dream, sometimes it's a burrito.
Right.
Right? It's not always every dream that you have is not because God spoke to you. Sometimes it's because you have indigestion. So here's what you need to know. That you only trust a word from God when you know you're listening, you're asking, and what you're hearing lines up with the word of God.
Right, right, right.
If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then that's not him speaking. Can I get an amen? And so this is just a quick run through of some things that we already know, but we're praying that it's no longer informational, but it becomes transformational. I would love it if you would get up in the middle of the night and scare your spouse to death by rocking in the bed. Just sitting there praying, putting on that armor. What are you doing? I'm putting on the armor. Be quiet. I'm suiting up. Here we go. But I would love it if you would begin a practice that Kathy has taught me and that I hope we're teaching all of you, that the armor of God is not just a great passage to know, it's a great suit to put on.
Yeah.
And not just for the intense spiritual battles. It is for everyday believers.
Yeah.
And all God's people said.
Right
on. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all for letting us be a part of this wonderful event. For everybody else at the Rural Pastor Podcast, you're going to wish you were here with us for the rest of this. We're going to have a great time. But until next time, we'll see you on another episode of the Rural Pastor Podcast.
Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope to that church on the corner of that forgotten little town. With a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him known.
Thank you for joining us on the Rural Pastor Podcast. Special thanks to Chosen Road for our incredible theme music and to 180 Digital for their corporate sponsorship and making all the technical things possible. Rural Church Leader, we want to remind you that your work is important, that you are important, and that you are not alone. See you again soon for another edition of the Rural Pastor Podcast.